and then you'd have to apply again,
yeah.
make a whole new project. And it's very difficult to create any kind of systematic change.
And sustainable
change. And sustainable change yeah. when you have to reinvent yourself every 12 months.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes a challenge. So I would be curious to see if the Quebec government gives multi-year funding. Now that multi-year funding, that could have a real impact on the lives of queer folks
yeah.
in Quebec and really make a huge difference. So on the whole, I think this is great. I'm not sure if the 50-50 split with, you know, promo yeah. is where I would cut the balance.
Well, 55% goes to the community. The remaining 45% is going to be the ministry itself. And that will be things like awareness campaigns. But you're right, it'll also probably be just like administration. It might be developing a relationship with other ministries. It could be getting on a full-time employee whose main job is to work with other branches of the government, other officials, that kind of thing. Like, being the crossroads is not a bad thing. I don't quite have that Argentinian afuera energy, but I do think that there are a lot of jobs that may not need to exist in the government, but if you have data being collected from StatsCan, and you have data being collected from the police, and you have data being collected from the health ministry, having one person whose full-time job is to collect all that data, put it in one place, and say, what do we know about the lives of LGBT people in Quebec, given what we know from all this other data, make a report, make an analysis, make recommendations, that kind of job, I don't think that's worthless. Being the center point for all that information, that is the kind of thing that they could do for it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they already exist and I just invented the wheel again.
Now, that is why the Liberals created the LGBTQ Secretariat.
Yeah.
You know, there is, they talk a lot about the whole of government approach.
Yeah.
You know, which just seems half-assed.
Yeah.
But really what they're saying is what the CRAF understands about gay servicemen needs to be at a standard where the lighthouse keeper, you know, also, you know, the guy that operates the canal is on the same boat. You know what I mean?
I'm
choosing esoteric federal authority here. But so much of government is fiefdoms and siloed, you know, it's the treasury, it's heritage, it's IRCC, it's CBSA, you know, and never they should meet.
Yeah.
And but the idea of knowing, you know, the left hand knowing what the right hand is doing, invaluable.
Yeah.
Invaluable. And it means that as a queer person, you're like, look, I'm running into a brick wall.
Mm.
I have an issue. This body of government says not us. Ooh. This body of government says not us.
Yeah.
I've fallen down in the middle. There's a great big crack here and I've fallen down into it. Agencies like that are a really good way of addressing it. The anti-racism secretariat, I think, does a very similar role to the LGBTQ secretariat, essentially tying all of these loose threads together.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting you mentioned Argentina because there were, I think they had like 20 plus ministries.
18. And they're down to 9.
And he cut them all off. But he also killed off the Ministry for Women and Minorities.
Yes. Yes.
And everyone's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do?
Well, the president basically said, we have a 40% unemployment rate. The money that we save on cutting this, the ministry was also famously bloated. Like I am in support of the idea of a secretariat of LGBT issues in Canada. If the secretariat had 100 assistants doing research under him or her, I would be like, that's a bit much. You know, you can be for something, but also say this is the wrong point in history for that. There's no budget for that. We have other bigger fish to fry. There's widespread starvation and crime or something like that. Like, that money could be spent, you know, everybody benefits when nobody gets mugged every day.
Yeah.
You know? So there is that kind of, is it the right time in history for this? So when you're talking about Argentina, I think you're talking about a very different context than Canada. And I also think you can be in support of something, but also be in support of a small version of that. So I like the idea of, you know, Secretariat of Anti-Racism or Secretariat of LGBT Issues. But I also think their office should be small. I think I think it should take them half a day to do the Christmas shopping for their employees.
Yeah.
You know? And it that's basically, yeah. It's this weird thing, like, it's not yes or no. I wish that came up more often. The N-word, you know? Nuance.
Mm.
You know, that seems to be missing from a lot of discussions these
really
days.
Really wondered where we were going to go with that.
Yeah. you can be in favor of something, but only a little bit. That is a thing.
Yeah, know? It's not all or nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so much of our politics right now is, I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Or, I'm right, you're a racist.
Yeah.
You know, or what have you. You know, and
I disagree with me, you must be transphobic. It's like,
Yeah.
Disagree with you because you're putting the eggs in before the butter. Like, it's, that doesn't make me transphobic, you know, like,
yeah. The
weird example, but you know what I mean.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I think there's definitely room for nuance. You know, I got frustrated recently with the you know, let's move on. This is good news. This is good news out of Quebec.
Okay.
I would be curious to see if other governments do a similar initiative.
I mean, Ontario has. We've seen the funding come down the pipes. And that was 3 years ago, I think? 2 years ago? 3 years ago? And we're still riding on that because it was also a 5-year thing? 6-year thing?
I think you were referring to the feds.
Was it the feds?
It was the feds. I don't think
Ontario did that.
No, I don't think Ontario's done
that. You don't think the Ford government would do that?
No. 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 The only way you're going to see money from the Ford government is if you are a property developer. Like, that is probably
the gist of it. Or if you like trains. I will never understand. This is a conservative government who's obsessed with public transit. And it's there's something about it that my brain just can't compute. But I'm like, you know what? Don't question it. Just accept it.
I'm pretty sure it's suburban voters.
He's building trains. It's fine.
Yeah. All right. We are going to jump to our next song of the day. And that is, what is our next song of the day? This is I Saw Me by Victrix. This is Dream Pop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the fence about Dream Pop, but you talk me into it.
I like Dream Pop. It's it's an unsung genre. It's very chill. It's a little bit more summery, but you know, it is sitting on a hammock with a cool beverage, looking at a freshwater beach. That is the vibe of Dream Pop.
All right, and we will be back just after this.
Familiar voice here to you.
Welcome back to Kankwe, home of Canada's queer media. My name remains Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Now, one of the things I forgot to mention in the segment just now is around accountability.
Yes.
35 grand here, 10 grand there, 50 grand there, 70 grand there, you know, millions of dollars spread out across 70 organizations. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, I expect the government will be doing some kind of reporting back mechanism, some kind of monitoring. Mm-hmm. But where is the accountability from within the community itself?
Yeah.
We've talked about the collapse of queer media. Mm-hmm. There are no queer news agencies out there in the country right now who's keeping an eye on this. You know what I mean? And it would have to be pretty big before the CBC or Radio Canada picks it up.
And the few that are remaining, a lot of them are sort of unconditional cheerleaders. You know, mm-hmm. a queer person does it, it is positive. There is no questioning it. There's no doubting it. There's no, you know, there are people who genuinely think that Jesse Smollett is still a victim of a hate crime to this day. They just refuse to believe all the evidence in their face. And there is an issue with that of a lot of organizations and you know, rapporteurs of various kinds just basically just saying, you know, queer community says this, therefore must be true. And it's fine.
We're human. We're fallible.
Yeah.
Sometimes queer folks get it wrong. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, there are unsavory characters.
And the weirdest thing is the number of times where a story could be confirmed or denied with one phone call, and they just mm-hmm. didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, we will try our best, but of course, with Quebec, everything is in French. So really, it's on you. We'll try and see what kind of accountability we can bring, but I suspect it would be limited given our lack of any kind of resources.
Mm.
All right, but I think it's always worth saying that when this support goes to the community, who's watching, you know, who's holding folks to account?
Yeah, we have community-led organizations here in Ottawa that do exactly what they say on the tin, and they do a good job, and there's others where it's kind of unprofessional and embarrassing. And again, we're not going to name names because we don't want to be that. We don't want to be that guy.
Well, I'm going to move now to our next topic of the day. And so the leading provider of, I would say, gentleman cinema.
Fast and the Furious movies?
Well, no. I mean, Ma Familia uh-huh. is the provider of the Fast and Furious movies.
Okay.
No, I'm referring to
gentleman cinema.
Yes, yes. There is, well, it's Pornhub. We're talking about Pornhub.
Yes.
In the most appropriate sense. But there are billions of people who make use of their services.
Mm-hmm.
And they have revealed some really interesting data points. Now, I think what it says more than anything else is some of it was quite surprising. You know, for example, you know, in the States,
mm-hmm.
men over 50, trans was one of the top searches.
Mm-hmm.
In the context of the amount of anti-trans legislation and rhetoric,
mm-hmm.
that's a question mark. You know what I mean?
They could just write it off as know thy enemy, you know, just know thy enemy all the way through.
Well, yes, yes. I mean, there is definitely a degree of, when something comes up in public discourse,
yes.
What's that rule? There's a rule of the internet. If it exists, there's a prong of it.
Rule
34? Rule 34, that's the one. Mm-hmm. You know, when things bubble up into the common consciousness, the zeitgeist, as it were, you know, there is definitely people are going to be like, oh, I wonder if there is other cinema on
and,
this.
And if people are looking it up and people are tracking that data and then telling the producers who are creating it, I remember years ago, I remember reading a story and then in my heart remembering never go on the internet ever again. But the story was that there were multiple studios in the US who were making fidget spinner themed pornography. And there was I have no idea what's involved in that because I avoided the internet for the next 3 years and then bleached my eyes and my brain and my soul.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that was a thing that happened. Dune 2 and Willy Wonka are coming out over the next couple months. There might be desert themed.
Oh, there is definitely cinema related to that. And 100%.
And it is,
I mean, I don't personally know, but it seems like an obvious.
I think zeitgeist is a good way of putting it. It just creeps into all sorts of things.
Well, let me tell you this one. The search term Android this past year grew by 1,689%.
I don't think they're talking about the operating system.
I think they are. Android, well, not the operating system, as Android cosplay and Android roleplay in particular.
What?
Robot and sex robot and 3D robot grew by 300% this year. What? As well as my favorite one, NPC.
Oh,
non-playable characters. That search term grew by over 1,500%. The third most top popular search was machines and robots.
Okay.
And when we think about how ubiquitous ChatGPT and AI and, you know, these things have really been in the people have been thinking about it. People have been thinking more about robots and AI this past year than ever before.
Well, I agree and disagree. I think the discussion around AI is more prevalent than AI itself. I think more people are thinking about whether or not AI is going to take over than the number of AI things that actually have taken over. I mean, famously, there have been people who do AI-generated scripts, stories, little short movies and things like that, and they are all profoundly bland. They lack the spark of creativity of, like, a Coen Brothers movies, you know? Like, it doesn't have that feel that, like, an auteur has created this with some individual flair that lets you know that, you know, David Lynch directed this movie, or that, you know, this is definitely a J.R.R. Tolkien novel. It lacks that fingerprint, because they tend to be generic. And because of that, I don't think authorship's ever going away.
Mm-hmm.
Or what was it? Somebody created, like, an AI-generated Taylor Swift song, and it sounded like the most boring B-side she ever made, but it did sound like her, but it was boring. It lacks that flair of...
It lacks a certain humanity. In fact, there is... my partner Jake helped to create a Christmas card for one of his co-workers, mm-hmm. and he used GPT to create the wording in it. And I've mentioned this to other people I work with as well. There is a tone, a voice that is distinct to ChatGPT.
Yeah.
You know, when you've read enough things that it produces, it has that same cadence, that same... it, in terms of writing, it's the voice. It's the voice of how it's written.
Yeah.
You know, so I can always spot it.
Yeah.
Because it's like... It's sort of stilted. It's kind of, it lacks character. It lacks dynamism from when people naturally write.
That's what editing is for. I mean, famously, Prince refused to sing Nothing Compares to You ever again after Sinead O'Connor performed it. Like, you can take a bland ChatGPT piece and zhuzh it up with your own flair, you know? But anyway, we're talking about this survey from this...
Absolutely. Right. One of the things that kind of was a bit interesting this year, and we had various opinions of it. Now, the most searched terms of 2023, what jumps out is the number of search terms that have jumped up to the top that are Asian-inspired.
Okay.
The number one global search term was hentai. But also we have Japanese, Philippines, Asians, all in there as their own search terms in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my partner Jake immediately jumped to, great, we're being fetishized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is just Asian folks being fetishized the world over, and that's the result of it. I disagree. Mm. My theory as to why so many people are looking at these particular search terms relates to the writer's strike in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to that idea of the sort of overall cultural consciousness, which sounds like a ridiculous concept.
Yeah.
But water cooler moments. When you're at the water cooler at work, what are you talking about? And with the writer's strike, so much North American TV and films simply did not happen.
Are the ones that actually the top three lowest scoring TV shows on IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes were all released this year.
Yeah, yeah. North American, Hollywood, and the States, North American television content bottomed out as a result of the writer's strike. Mm-hmm. But you know who didn't stop making content? South Korea.
And Japan.
And Japan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, the Squid Games, for example. Yeah. Squid Games is probably the best example of this.
Mm-hmm.
Massive global hit. Everyone is now looking at Asian lead content, being like, oh, I can identify with these characters.
Yes.
Clearly, maybe they have really identified with these characters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is it fetishization? Probably. Is it only fetishization? I don't think so. I think a part of this is, I want to say you are what you eat, but I feel like folks' interest reflects the media they consume. And there's been a lot of content and TV shows from the streaming giants coming out of Asia.
Also a lot of failed projects that inspired the original. So the failure of Cowboy Bebop got more people watching the original, which re-inspired a lot of people that, you know, not every Japanese cartoon is about an 11-year-old who goes to a school specifically to make you a hero, which is the plot of like seven different major stories. Anyway, just this sort of reminder that there is stuff out there. Yeah, for sure. And unfortunately, the hentai thing is kind of...
It's a lesbian in the States. It's hentai globally.
Oh.
In the States, it's lesbian.
Okay, okay. Being someone who... I'm not as fluent as I used to be by any means, but I did used to speak Japanese. Hentai is just the word for pervert. It's like somebody who peeks in the window or makes raunchy jokes all the time is a hentai. They are a hentai person.
Mm-hmm.
So hentai is just like perverted media. Is the way that they actually kind of frame it. But I'm sure that's not what they mean when they're doing searches. Usually when they do that, they zoom in on the animated stuff, which...
Yeah, yeah.
Does not need to follow the rules of reality.
But I mean, it's really interesting. One of the things that I wanted to look in at as well is... The gay content.
Okay.
We are a gay radio show. I'm just trying to...
One thing that I will say is something that I have seen a lot more of this year relative to the past is more discussion about how much we consume. Whether or not it's good or bad for us. Is there a neutral way to do so? There's definitely a lot more talk on there is a bad way to do so. There is such a thing as a bad, unhealthy way to consume gentleman's cinema. And there's a lot more discussion about, I don't know, not its permissibility, not about its legality, but just how good is it for you, and is there such a thing as a right way and a wrong way, a good amount, a bad amount, too much? I don't think anybody would say not enough, but like there have been a lot more discussions on that. And not just from grandstanding moralizers either. People who are looking at it from like a data-driven perspective of like, people who watch this much and then they sort of track that versus life outcomes and things like that. There's been I haven't seen anything this year that's truly quantifiable, but I've seen a lot of people talking about starting projects like that. It is a growing discussion that we may have a societal issue with this, basically. So I don't know. There has been more discussion around that as well.
What this survey tells us... And I'm not going to dwell on it any further. But what I think it tells us is what people in aggregate, like what the masses are looking at in the privacy of their own bedrooms, you know, that tells an interesting story about what we as a people are finding most interesting.
Fidget spinners, yeah.
Androids. You name it. So yeah. I think it's an interesting story to look into. Now, the last note I want to make is Heartstopper, the latest graphic novel, has smashed records for sales of a graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about it during the break.
More than Watchmen and Scott Pilgrim?
Yep, no, it's huge. The Netflix adaptation, I think, did really well. They featured in a whole bunch of like major Pride events. They had big floats for the for Heartstopper.
Okay.
The actors are followed as minor actor celebrities now. I will also be ordering a copy of the book. I have the previous four, I'd like to maintain my collection. It is a very quick read. I think it took me like 3 or 4 days to get through it. Would recommend. It's also pleasant.
Okay.
Now, you said that you thought perhaps it was the Streisand effect.
Some of it may have been, yeah. A lot of people saying Heartstopper's not worth it. Heartstopper is
banned.
Yeah. So because people are discouraged from reading it, more people are going to read it just to see what it's all about. And I mean, really, it's just graphic novels tend to be pretty understated. That's kind of the thing about the genre. Even highfalutin sci-fi things, like weirdly enough, the graphic novel version of V for Vendetta, it had its moments, but it was generally pretty understated, which you would not expect for something that comes out of the comic book industry, but it does tend to be true.
All right, we'll be playing out now with Spring by Murphy. My name has been Luke Smith.
And I have been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
Last night I called you on the telephone to ask, but you didn't bother answering. I'm tired of this. It's only been a week, but something's changed and I don't like it. I'm lost when it comes to things like this. I don't wanna waste another day if I don't have to. Spend another second in my life. I'm not gonna fight it this time. We're unraveling. Remember when we used to tell each other everything? I'm not okay, not okay. You said that you would try with something about the way I look into your eyes. It feels like a lie. I don't want to say goodbye, but sometimes you gotta bite the bullet even when it feels like a lie. You said that you would try with something about the way I look into your eyes. It feels like a lie. I don't want to say goodbye, but sometimes you gotta bite the bullet even when it feels like a lie. So I don't want to waste another day if I don't have to. I'm tired of giving your intentions away.
PFLAG Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Are you struggling with an LGBT issue? Every day, PFLAG Canada volunteers are contacted by frightened kids and by angry, fearful, or ashamed parents. PFLAG is Canada's only national organization that helps all Canadians who are struggling with issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.